vision this morning of like what it's going to be like in heaven. And, you know, for those of you that played sports, you know what I'm talking about? Like in football or basketball, when they announced the starting five, you know, and it was like, and number 55 at 6'4", Rick Carlson. And you go running out there and the lights are flashing and all your teammates are like high-fiving you and everything and the stands are full back in the 70s. That's all we had to do on Friday night because our hot rods were out in the parking lot, but our hot girls were cheerleading. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. You put hot girls somewhere, and the hot guys will be there. Come on now. Amen? Come on now. If you don't believe that, you're missing something. Hey, good to see Brooke and Chance, all the way from Texas. We love these guys. They're our previous youth pastors, man. And they keep hanging around us. We just kind of like that. Man, they just overcame COVID, and they, like, it tried to kill you, didn't it? Tried to kill you guys. Man, we love you guys. All right, they're going to move to Colorado, and they're starting a church called Pastor Rick's House of Joys, Joyfulness. And I get to sit on his board, and I get to help mentor him and lead him. They're going to start a church over in Greeley. So, yeah. Man, I tell you, I just have a heart for Greeley. I have for a long time, and I just was just praying, Lord, help us do something in Greeley. And here they come. Here come the Greers. Amen. Are you guys ready for some word today? Yeah. Traction is an important thing. If you're playing football and you don't have the right cleats on, you ain't going to have traction. You'll be that running back out there that falls down when nobody touches him, right? If you don't have the right tires on, you're going to be that guy that gets stuck in the mud when everybody else goes blasting past him. So you got to have the right tires for the right traction. If you don't have shoes on your horse and you're going to go up trail riding and you're rocking over rocks, that horse is pretty soon going to be picking up their feet going, ouch, ouch. But if you put shoes on them, what we call the right way, then you'll make it to the top. Let me tell you something today, church. We're going to talk about traction for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Because if you don't have traction in your life, you can have all the power you want. Your power in life cannot supersede the traction in your life. So you have to have traction in order to go somewhere. A lot of people want to spin out, and that's fun. We all did it in the 70s. Amen? Come on now. We all did it. Come on, my 70 Pontiac. But listen, everybody wants power. Everybody wants to increase power. We're going to chip vehicles and turn them up as much as we can. But man, I tell you what, it's no fun to just stay in one place and spin and rock back and forth, try and get out of that spot. And you use all your effort on getting out and then catching up with everybody else. Why wouldn't we want to have good traction, make wise decisions on where we go, and stand up for Jesus Christ in spiritual traction? If I can get this message into your heart today, there's some things that I have to kind of predicate first and get some assumptions agreed upon, and then we can really go forward with traction. Without that traction, some points today on getting traction, we'll just spin out. So stand up with me and turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul says in verse 16 through 23, I just want to say thank you to all of my staff for helping this week be so successful. Those videos don't just pop onto a computer, you know, like some people think evolution happened, you know. They don't just like look at their screen and go, boop, there is, you know. If you believe in evolution, then you should believe that all your work can just be done like that. You don't have to do anything. It just happens. And we all just float around. We just do nothing, go to lunch. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, everybody say the power. Power. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who has traction or believes. So you might guess that your belief is your traction.
It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Talk about traction. Amen? Belief and faith, traction. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. For the devil wants you to spin out. So he's God is saying, I'm going to pour out my wrath on ungodliness. And it can't withstand the traction of righteousness. He says, ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now here we go. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly being seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. See what happens when you lose traction? When you start losing spiritual traction? You start spinning out on the things of this earth instead of the things of God. And you start focusing on the creation rather than the Creator. And so they start spinning out, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. They made idols, made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So God gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies and themselves. Listen, we'll talk about the rest of that chapter later if things get going good in this series. But we got to have our traction. We got to figure out what that traction is, and I hope to give that to you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Every single person that would take out this hour and a half in their life to gather and to come and worship and praise you, and also then to hear this message. Lord, give me the next 20 or 25 minutes to speak into their life everything that you planned for this service. I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be lives changed, and there's going to be some pieces of the puzzle put together. So in Jesus' name, we just thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. You see, when we have traction in our life, traction must be able to withstand the thrust of the motor. It must be able to also withstand the inertia of the vehicle going forward. So about a 6x6 area on your car tires, all four of them touch the ground. So that whole vehicle is held onto the ground by about a 6x6 area times four. That has to withstand the power going forward and the power coming to a curve and the power coming to a stop. If you don't have the traction in the right tread, you'll slip. If you're on ice, you have to have clamp-ons. If you're climbing the hill, you have to have hiking boots. If you're going to the top of the hill, you've got to have tires that meet the source or the type of terrain that you're going over. You see, people that don't ever get to the top to look down, look from the bottom up, and they might say, wow. Their first thought is, that's a hard climb. But three words are always said by us human beings when we get to the top. And you see the river below and the valley, and you're up on top of this mountain, some maybe just up here at Horse Tooth, or you're a little bit higher up on Long's Peak. But there's a place that I used to go up towards Tip Top Guest Ranch and parked right there because I could pray and hang my feet over this little ledge. And they fenced it off, and so I can't get in there anymore. But I would sit there, and when I got there, I could see the place that God called me to. But it took traction to get there. I had to climb this steep hill, and sometimes I had to put it in four-wheel drive, depending on how much snow was on that road. But when I got there and closed the door and went back to this area, about 100 feet off the road and hung my feet over the top of that ledge, I could see the area where God gave me. I could see the plant with the big tower. I could see Fort Collins. I could see even my home, Longmont, my hometown. And I feel like God gave me everything from my home to Wyoming. A northern area that God said, this is yours. And I can pray over that and I can intercede and I can see, say, God, this is, what do you want me to do with these people? How should I lead them? And he would give me that word. But I had to get traction to get there. The power in that diesel pickup couldn't overcome the tires' traction or I'd spin out. Are you following me, church? And so power is necessary in our lives. Do you know when we read this scripture in Romans chapter 1 where they took and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into idol worship, it's because they began to spin out. And they no longer were moving, no longer were mankind. And this is a time frame that goes around and comes around. People throughout history have turned to God and then turned to idol worship. Turned to God and turned to idol worship. They find that it's meaningless and useless in idol worship, so they turn back to the living God. And they find out things are going good, and then things get going good, and then they spin out again because they decided not to keep their tires retreaded. They wore them out and they become bald tires. And so we turn away from the church and we go back to the church. And we learn and we get all educated and we get away from the church. We get busy. We can start working. 25 years of seeing this in people's lives when he wants to see us get traction and go straight up the hill. In 2019, not 2020, but 2019, the top three things Googled were single words. Number one, porn. Number two, listen to this, lonesome. And number three, suicide. In the year 2020, nothing changed. The same three were Googled with the same intensity, except for everything went up by 44.5%. So 45%. More Googling of porn. More Googling of I'm lonesome. Couldn't you see that in 2020? And more Googling of how do I commit suicide? Some people, how do I get over it? Larimer County is one of the top leading counties in the nation for suicide. We got to fix that. That's on our home court. Mr. Devil, not on our watch. We're going to have to change that, church. So therefore, we have to have a strong youth group, a strong church, strong families. It's not just on the youth. It's on the families. It's called parenting. We have to parent our kids better. My dad knew exactly where I was, every single place I was. My mom knew. We have to know those things. And so the gospel message is powerful, and we have to overcome the porn, the lonesome, and we have to overcome that suicide. There's some things. Julie's brother, oldest brother, gave me a book years ago called Empires of the Mind. It's not a Christian book, but it really helped me understand the human psyche a little bit better, as much as a non-psychic guy can do. But in that book, I read and I turned to it a lot, and he says that the top three things that every single human being needs is this. The first one, love. We need a Jesus movement. Hannah was right, and the band was right in the song selection this morning. We need a move of God. I'm hungry for a mighty move of God, aren't you? Our nation needs us to have a move of God. I pray that Greeley is swept away by your church. We're going to be praying for him and Brooke. And we need a mighty move of God in our church. The number one thing that the Empires of the Mind says is people need love. And the next thing they need is a group of people to nurture them. We need each other. So you see, when we don't have love and we don't nurture each other, we start to get spun out. We wear out the tires and they never get replenished. You know, the third thing is utilization of gifts. Utilization of the gift that God gave you. You see, people that stay away from church, it's like every week I feel like, man, people that are staying away from church are out there running their tires bald, you know, to the point where you can almost see the air in them. We got to stop that. We got to get people to understand how important it is to walk close with the Lord and get their tires retreaded. It's called by the renewing of the mind. By renewing our mind every week, every day, not just at church, but all through the week, because we need that mentality of renewing our mind. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is our Heavenly Father's plan for the redemption and salvation of His children that were lost to sin from Adam to the current day. We're going to talk a lot about creation today because I got to get a mindset into your head. You see, the gospel is God's way of reaching out back to us even though we're away from Him in sin. It's God's way of saying, hey, you can overcome sin, but the power of God is reserved and found and hidden in the gospel message. Pastor Greer, preach three things. Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. The first Jesus you got to preach is the one that loved Him in the book of Genesis. The second Jesus we've got to preach is the Jesus that gets in their hearts and loves them and shows them who they are. And the third Jesus we have to preach is the Jesus that says, come home! Amen. That's the Jesus we got to preach. You see, if having been personally released from sin and redeemed from your sin isn't the most powerful event in your life, then you've never seen the top of the hill. You've never been to the peak. You probably, some people are afraid to go there because they don't have the traction to get there. We've got to make sure that as a church we're connected to God in many forms, in many ways. Because we can have all the power you want. Man, I find out that in 2018, you know, Dodge made a Challenger that has 840 horsepower. And I thought I was the king of the hill in the 70s with my Pontiac GTO, hoping to run over 300 horse. You drive the thing off of, you know, Wills and Hayek Pontiac and Hayek Chevrolet and Pontiac and Longmont, and it was running 300 horse. That's like, pfft, now. I'm like, seriously? One of Detroit's best. And now, I mean, that Dodge with 840, what do you do with 840 horsepower? You peel out a lot. Amen? You peel out a lot. So we have to have power in God's word. But we got to have traction. If we're going to move forward, and we got to keep traction, we have to keep brakes, because it's fun to go fast, but it's also good to stop sometimes. Amen? So there's brake pads that have traction, and they slow you down. And I know some people, I was one of them, you know, you think because you have a four-wheel drive on the snow and the ice that you can stop fast too, but you can't. Are you with me? You can get going fast, but you can't stop fast. Yeah. So you see, traction occurs when the tire touches the road. Like traction to remain on the road, principles found in the gospel of Christ are absolutely required to stay on life's road. Absolutely required. You have to have traction, and that traction is found in the Word of God, the truths that are there, the principles in your life, all adding up to faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Say it with me. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Now listen, it's hearing it from a standpoint of I'm willing to put it in and digest it and understand it because the truths in my life put tires on my wheels. The truth in my life, the principles applied, means that then I can put it in gear. One time I was changing the brakes and the tires on a 68 Chevy pickup on the farm. Had about a billion miles, farm miles on it. And, you know, it just kept ticking and taking a licking and everything else. I'm changing the brakes and everything on one side, on the passenger side, and my dad comes running out of the house, and he's hollering for me, and I'm laying underneath it, and he says, man, where's Rick? I got to go. And I'm like, I'm under the truck. He gets in, starts it, and drives off. I was hoping he didn't get traction that day because he just about put me in traction. And, oh, he thought that was funny when it goes, like that, and I'm laying underneath it just about this far out. He comes around there and he goes, well, what in the world? And there I am. It didn't hit me, didn't hurt me. Dad always taught me, put blocks underneath it, you know, make it safe. And so there we were, and you know, you talk about traction. Two different types of traction, amen? One used for one and one used for another. But traction is important. And so spinning out happens a lot in life. And as pastors, we put people's lives back together once they realize they can only spin out. Addictions, alcoholism, pornography, a thought process that says I am no good. That's a spin out that people don't recover from. That's difficult to overcome unless Jesus. We need a move of God, church. I'm going to give you some traction points. The traction point that I want to talk to you about today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you and talk to you about Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which tells us that Paul's not ashamed of the gospel, because I have to talk to you about creation first. I have to get your twisted mind that's been taught by media and everything else the right thought process first. Now, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But he was living in a time frame. He didn't get to go to Rome at the time that he wrote this. He'd never been there yet. It didn't work out for him to go just yet. But he's writing to the church at Rome, and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God unto righteousness for all who believe, for the Jew first and the second for the Gentile. The just must walk by faith. Now get this. This was not a time where people came and sat in church and we wear our plaid shirts. We wear our solid shirts and we pull out our shirt out of the closet. We put it on and we look ourselves over. Honey, how do I look? Are we ready for church? Yes, we're ready. Okay, got your Bible? No, it's in the car. Let's go to church. Off they go. These are people that had to... Is there anybody watching? Who's watching? Can we gather? Let's go to Joe's house today. Let's get to Joe's house and let's worship there. Make sure you don't tell that guy yet, because we don't know if he's for sure a Christian. Make sure you don't tell anybody that we're there, because we don't want Nero's men to get us. Because if they get us, we become a torch for Nero's garden. So make sure, well, we're going to worship, but make sure that when we gather, that it's safe for us to gather. Make sure you have a sentry outside. Make sure they're watching for us, that we can worship freely. Because you see, he wrote that in times when Nero gathered up Christians, soaked oil skins in blood, tied it on Christians, and threw them in an arena to see how long they lasted against lions. He would take those same skins and dip them in oil, petroleum, and tie it to them and put them on a stake in his garden, because if the night was too cold and he wanted a light, he would light Christians up for sport. And they would die, and he would use them for a disposable Bic lighter. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was encouraging them, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of what the devil will do, of what man will do. He said in verse 8, you can look at it there in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, he says, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. If you were being arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Thank you, brother. Would there be enough to convict you? Would there be enough that evidence that the judge would say, you're guilty, you're a Christian? Are you hearing me today? And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed, because he says to the Galatians, he says, it's no longer I that live. So I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I no longer live in sin. I live in the flesh by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, there's a stepping over there that Paul had to have. And so, everybody elbow the person next to you. Elbow him and say, he's going to talk to all of us. Because we have to change our mindset. Say that with me. We have to change our mindset. Now in America, we pick out our plaid shirts, we pick out our jeans, and we go to church. But we miss, if you miss what I'm about to tell you, there's probably going to be a lot of other things that we could identify in your life that are wrong if you miss this next point. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Isn't it funny? If you miss Genesis 1:1, you're going to miss everything else. Say to the person next to you, don't miss this. In the beginning, it's not a baseball statement, in the big inning. No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. You know what he was doing? He was hovering over the earth, and his eyes were on God, waiting on God's every word. He's there, hovering like a dove. Remember when Jesus was baptized? The Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a dove, okay? He fluttered down like a dove landing. And so here's the Holy Spirit looking at God. And God says, let there be light. Whew, there's light. He says, let there be darkness. Whew, there's darkness. Let there be water. Whew, there's water. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of do by God. In verse 6, it says that God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. In verse 9, it says, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. In verse 11, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb and yield seeds and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. In verse 14, it says, then God said, let there be light in the firmament. Up comes the sun and the moon and the stars. Why? Because God said it. And it was one 24-hour day. I was talking to Isaac this week, and he said, the people that don't believe in a 24-hour day and believe it's a million years means that for one day, then the sun was up for 500,000 years. That's a long time for the sun to be up. Amen? Because you don't get it both ways. You don't get a switch from 24-hour day to a day is of 1,000 years without some understandings there. And that goes deeper than what that statement that was just made. But then over in verse 24, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth. But the most spectacular thing God did was when he created you and he created me. Because unlike anything else, it doesn't say, and God created the creeping things in his image. And he made the birds in his image. And he made the earthlings or the earthbound beasts in his image. Look what it says in verse 26. You got to get this, church. He says, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all earth. So he gave us dominion because we were made in his likeness. He gave us authority that we sang of this morning. He gave us certain authorities as long as we're tied to him. Now, the sin and the separation hadn't occurred yet, because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden, but God hadn't said, don't partake of it yet. He'll say that in just a little bit. And then he says in verse 27, look how many times God says to make man in the image of God. Now that doesn't mean we're gods. That doesn't mean we have deity. That means we're his children, and we need him to be our heavenly Father. We don't have anything without God, but with him all things are possible. It says, verse 26, let us make man in our image. In our image, according to our likeness, that's two, let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over every creeping thing. You got a creep in your life? You have dominion over that creeping thing. I'm just trying to give you your authority now. Come on. Some of you, you're dating the wrong person. Get rid of that creep. If they know Jesus Christ, they're not a creep. You need to keep them. That's a keeper, not a creeper. Amen? Come on now. I'm trying to help you here. You want me to just finish and be done? All right, let's finish this thing because I'm supposed to be done. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Four times in two verses. Four. I had to make sure I wasn't going. Four. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted it. Does it say man planted? No, it says God planted a garden and gave it to him and told him to tend it. God then made Eve and brought her to him. She had to be hot, man. She was the only girl on earth. He'd never seen a girl. Remember the first time you saw your girlfriend that became your wife? Remember that first day? Remember the first time you saw Brooke Chance? Yeah. Your eyes bug out. Like those old cartoons, you know. And it says that in order to do that, he had to put him to sleep. I won't say anything about that. Crazy things happen when you're falling asleep, I tell you. And then it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they were made male and female, and then he put them together to multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion over it. That's the message of the church, and I'm sticking to it. I don't care what the world says, and I don't care what Biden legislates. The word is true. Amen. Write me a letter later on, but I'm sticking to it. Now, what's the point there as we begin to wrap this thing up? What's the point? The point is this. The Bible says God, when man sinned by partaking of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was disobedience and that was sin against God. That was never intended to happen. God thought that man would obey him their whole lives. But when it did happen, I could have read you the scripture right there. It says that God, it doesn't say God trashed him and threw him away. It doesn't say, well, you're no good. I don't like you anymore. It said he took care of them. And he brought to them and covered them with tunics of skin. Because they said, we hid from you, God, because we were naked and ashamed in your presence. They knew they had sinned against him. And so God cared so much about his creation. Come on. When I was a kid growing up, there was a farmer in my home church by the name of Frank Barnes. And some of the combines that you see out in the field today come from a patent that his family now owns. And the machines that you would know of called the Gleaner came from that man in my church. He built the original Gleaner in his barn. Built it. Out of his mind, God gave him a gift of invention. But you know, when he sold the patents to Gleaner, to New Holland, he said to my dad, who I was a young man when I was a teenager, standing there next to my dad listening to Frank talk, and he said, I kept the original for myself because I just couldn't get rid of it. He said, I spent so much time on it. I just loved that Gleaner. So all the combines you see out there today have some sort of a history back to Frank Barnes in my home church who built the original Gleaner. Well, the original one that Gleaner took up. Now listen, how do I make application to that? When God makes something, he keeps it. Because he loves it. Because he fashioned it. So maybe the world is missing it in our schools. Instead of teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, they're missing it by teaching kids what gender they can be and should be and might be. And maybe you have a choice in that. And if they don't believe in God, listen to me now. If they don't want to believe in God, that I still got you. Because it's still an insult to the integrity of nature. How about we teach them to celebrate who they are by nature or by God? You choose. How about we teach them that and to celebrate what they were made originally by nature or by God to be, and let's celebrate that and teach little girls how to be feminine and how to be girls, and let's teach boys how to be masculine, and there'll be no confusion. Teach them how to be what God called them to be. Amen? Amen. Come on, we can solve the world, those problems. So what do I need you to get today? I need you to understand that God made you. You are not a self-made man or a self-made woman. God owns you and you belong to him. That is a struggle for the world today because we all want to say, I made myself. I made it on my own. I didn't get an inheritance. I didn't get this or that. What I have is what I have because I worked hard for it. But let me tell you something. God gave you the gift of whatever you're good at doing. He gave you the gift when he put your DNA together and put you with your parents, and he figured your parents would be just right to raise you. And if they weren't, shame on them. He gives you the ability to overcome it. He gives you an overcoming spirit that you can overcome anything if you'll get with God. You know, I'm looking at a girl over here named Beth who if she were to give her life story, when I met her, she's an alcoholic. And her life changed because she got Jesus, got saved in this church, and came to the Lord. Hallelujah, Beth. This church loves you. We love you. Because she's an overcomer. She's going to go to Guatemala. And she's the kind of person that Crystal says, you want her on your team. Because she's a doer of the word. I love that girl. I love her story. So let me wrap it up by saying this. God made you. He loves you. He owns you. And because he owns you, he wants the best for you. And if you'll turn to him, he'll give you the better traction than you'll ever have by spinning out with the world's tires. They wear out quick. They don't give anything back. They'll go flat on you when you least expect it. They're cheapy little flimsy stuff. Flappers. When God gives you the best, he gives you the best that gets you down the road where you need to be. Stand with me. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hope you'll come back next week because your maker and me, we're going to get together on some things here this week. And we're going to talk about the power of God unto salvation. We're going to talk about how we can turn to him. How we can lean on him in our darkest hour. And he says, you know what? You hear the guy out in your garage spiritually. You hear that sound of that lug number one, lug number two, lug number three. Pretty soon you hear all these lugs coming off and you're like, sounds like a garage. Yeah, God's fixing some things in your life. But the first thing he had to do was get your mind to know even the money in your wallet belongs to him. Your time belongs to him. Your efforts, your abilities, your goals, your talents, your thought process should belong to him. And when you make him God, Jesus as Lord, change your life. Change my life completely, totally. Hallelujah. So with what I started with, I'm going to end with. I want to see the lights come on in heaven. I want to see this big ribbon. And I want to hear him say, your name
weighing in at, I won't say. He won the fight. She won the fight on earth. She overcame all adversities, overcame addictions, overcame porn, overcame suicidal thoughts, and found Jesus because River of Life preached the gospel message into her heart, into his heart. And because of that gospel message, here comes. Put your name in there. And can't you imagine that angel, the same angel that shouted like a trumpet in Revelation 4 that says, come up here for the whole world to hear. Here's your name. And I just believe that God is the greatest God of fanfare, that we'll be then throwing our crowns on the ground, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4. We'll be throwing them on the ground because we see Jesus. Wow. Oh, would you want to trade that in for hell? Hell is hell, man. There's no description, but it's hell. And you'll have hell to pay for eternity. How about if we enjoy heaven and follow Jesus and follow the principles and get traction in our life, and let's all turn to Jesus. Amen? Say this out loud with me, church. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary that gave me salvation, able to walk with you through all of life's difficulties, all the victories, all the defeats, all the failures, and all the successes. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let me pray over you now before we go. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you, I pray that they'll walk to the front as if their life depended on it. I pray that, Lord, if anybody needs prayer, that they'll come to the front. Myself and the pastors will pray with them and agree with them. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name now that as our congregation goes from this place, that they'll go and they'll not be the same as they were when they came in. They'll know that they were made by a wonderful, loving God that has his eye on them. No matter whether they turn towards him or turn away, he's got his eye on them until that last day, when they finally reject him and are separated from God finally, or they are accepting him and they live with him through eternity. We thank you, Lord. It's that simple. The gospel message is turn to Jesus. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you need prayer or you need Jesus, myself, Pastor Mark, Joy, Pastor Isaac, Michael and Jared will all be up here to pray for you. You just come up front and we'll pray with you. God bless you.